ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba bum.
You gotta wait till it kicks in. Kevin got nervous we weren't starting.
No reason to get nervous, Kevin.
We're here. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're on the stream, and we are joined by a wonderful man by the name of Rick Kogan. Perhaps you'll recognize his voice.
Hello, it's not late. My voice is deeper later. Sunday nights, yeah, Sunday nights is deeper later, but it's always a thrill. I really like and admire you two. So that's fine.
Right back at you, and whenever I hear your voice, I have to look up to see if
start
it's
screaming.
You or if B. Arthur has come back.
B. Arthur?
Yes.
And you're expecting B. Arthur to come back? That's
I hope at some point
That's an interesting fantasy, Bill.
Start wearing a neck scarf.
That is an interesting fantasy.
He's Bill Leff. What do you want?
I can't explain it. It's just a fantasy.
I'm sure you can.
No,
it.
I can't.
We love you. We respect you. We understand you're going to be at the Printers Row Lit Fest this weekend, and we wanted to have you on to talk about your appearance there.
Oh, it's not just me. I mean, I think the Lit Fest is, you know, when you keep hearing these pronunciations of, oh, the book is dead. The book is dead. Well, go down to Printers Row Lit Fest. These people are not reading books on iPads and other gizmos on Kindles and Nooks and whatever else. They're buying books.
Sure.
And that's one of the great joys of that whole event. It also shows people who've never been there what an interesting neighborhood Printers Row is.
So yeah.
There aren't printers there anymore, but it's a fascinating, lovely South Loop neighborhood.
So let's talk about what you just said for a second there.
Yes.
The perception that the book is dead. It's obviously not dead. Will there be a time, though, that happens? I'm hoping not.
I can't imagine. I literally can't imagine. There may be, and I'm thinking, I got a 12-year-old named Fiona.
Mm-hmm.
She loves nothing. She is as computer literate as anybody I know, mm-hmm. much more so than any adult I know, and she knows how to do all sorts of things on the computer, but she likes nothing more than sitting down with a real book.
There's nothing better.
And I think that kids today are not being force-fed books on gizmos,
right?
But rather in real hardcover.
The classic platform.
Yes.
I can't read a book on like a Kindle or on my iPad. It's just
I can do it, and I do it if I'm going, you know, away for like 2 weeks. I'll load up 3 books or 4 books because I don't want to carry.
Right.
Yeah, but to touch the pages, your hand,
my
the smell
is,
of a book.
It's like being a drug addict. You know, I get my fix. I get a full enough fix with pages here.
Sure.
So that when I go away, it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it is okay. I think that most people can have a lovely balance of it. I mean, I think you shouldn't say, oh, I will never read a real book again, or I'll never read a book online again. There's an interesting balance, I think,
yeah.
that one can get these days.
I can't
days.
Do it on my iPad because I feel like I could be doing other things,
you know,
like cruising around.
You know, it's really impossible for me to read on an iPad
what?
Or any machine as a newspaper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That I simply can't do. That, you know, there.
It's
I think there
blood.
Will always be books. I can't be so assured that there will always
yeah,
be
isn't
newspapers.
That sad?
Yeah.
A couple
yes,
years
because
ago.
It's my job.
Right. It's, it's extra sad.
Sadder than sad.
More than
Bill.
Sad.
Sadder than sad.
Tragic almost.
Yes.
A friend is visiting, and he has never seen my house before, and we're giving him a tour of the house. And in one room, in our family room, we have an entire wall that is books from top to bottom.
Yeah.
There's probably 400 books. Mm. And he's looking at it. He goes, you know what's sad is this could probably be the last generation where this sort of thing is part of a house. When I was a kid, I could tell you a dozen people who had a book room or a bookshelf or a book.
Many bookshelves.
Yeah, many. But yeah. Now it's just not good.
That is probably true, but it reminds me of a story. Roger Simon, who was a columnist here for many years and still
so
writes
good.
Once a month in the Sun-Times, when he went to college at the University of Illinois, he went down there. He didn't know his roommate yet, so he comes in, and he, of course, as anybody would have 40-some years ago, he'd put his books up on a shelf,
mm-hmm.
and got his room all together, and the guy walked in, and the guy was some kind of athlete, like a football player or something. It doesn't matter, really. And they introduce themselves, and he looks at this wall of books, and he goes, it's a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
Roger goes, yeah. He goes, have you read all these books? Roger goes, yeah. And the guy says, what do you still got them for?
Yeah, right.
So they're just, trophies.
They're talismans. They remind you, simply looking at a title will remind you of something, remind you of a time
yeah.
you read it.
Now, one of my best friends, when he's done with a book, he'll say, hey, I just read a book. Here, take it. He'll hand it to me. He'll give it to me to keep.
I do that. I do that a lot.
Which is, it's so admirable. But like we were just saying, there's something about having that body of work and look up and go, I've read all of these.
Yeah.
I know all these books.
And it's not, it's not an ego thing.
No,
you know what I mean?
Oh,
it's not like, hey, I've read The Great Gatsby.
Right.
Because I think in everybody's mind, the reason you keep books for a lot of people is you do think to yourself sometimes, I'm going to reread that book.
Yeah, right.
I loved that book when I was 11, when I was 21, when I was 31. I'm going to go reread on the road and see if it does the same thing to me. Or you're going to look something up.
Yeah.
It tells you, it's like a living kind of diary. You know what I mean?
Although I'm in this quandary now because we have refinished our basement and we moved some bookshelves down there. I have a rock and roll encyclopedia that I used every single night when I was on the air at the Loop radio station in 1986. I can get all that information online. It's probably updated.
Easily.
I can't get rid of it. I have to purge myself of some of these books.
But doesn't it evoke the memories of looking stuff up?
But I mean, so what do I do? Put it in the attic?
I still have a dictionary
mm-hmm.
that I occasionally will consult.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is a lot easier to find 800 definitions and it's all laid out on the internet or on your screen. But there's still something so wonderful about looking it up because in a book, I think, unlike the internet, you don't know what else you might find.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You might hit the wrong page and say, well, I really don't know what an aardvark is.
Right.
You know, I just studied this. Really? An aardvark is this?
Yeah.
And that's the same thing back to Printer's Row that I think is the joy of that, or the joy. One of the reasons people think there aren't a lot of books out there anymore is because there are not a lot of bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
And bookstores have taken a huge, huge crunch. There used to be three of them right here on Michigan Avenue, Crocs and Stuart Brand. The thing about a bookstore or Printer's Row is to go in, you're not going in to get a size 8 shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You were just going in, and there is that incredible element of surprise. You could be grabbed by a title.
Mm-hmm.
You could be grabbed by a cover. You could be grabbed by the name of an author.
Mm-hmm.
You can be grabbed just by the look of the book. And there are just so many stands at Printer's Row. There may be some people who go there to get specific books. But I think the majority of people who go to Printer's Row Litfest are not searching for anything specific.
They're browsing.
They want to be surprised.
Right, sure. Can you judge a book by its cover?
Can I?
Yeah.
No.
I can.
Yeah.
Can you really?
I really can.
Wow.
If it captures my eye, if it's something I want to read, I don't care what the cover looks like, but just the browsing and looking around, if that cover doesn't grab me, I'm not even going to read it.
That's interesting. I think that's true of a lot of people. But I don't know if you can judge the book by its cover.
Right.
I think you can be compelled to pick it up and maybe even to buy it by its cover. But then all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, this isn't the book. Why do they have a monster on this cover? This is this is about teenage girls. You know what I mean?
They are monsters.
You know what is a nice surprise when there's an author that you like and you go to a bookstore? The other day I was in Barnes & Noble in Evanston, and I love David Sedaris, and I didn't know he had a new book out.
Yeah.
And there's a big
It's his diary or something.
Right.
It's his diary.
I didn't know it existed. So there's just an excitement where you go, good, I'm glad it's working.
The other thing, there used to be book sections in newspapers.
Right.
I mean, the Tribune used to have a full one. My father used to edit the book section of the Sun-Times.
Mm.
Every paper. Now it's, I think, the New York Times. I know the New York Times has one. I think the LA Times has one, but I'll bet there is not another freestanding book section in American newspapers. And there's certainly no book shows on TV or even radio.
Right.
I mean, Bob Cromie used to have a half-hour
show.
Cromie
Circle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With authors.
Yeah.
So you don't even get exposed to authors. I suppose you could. There must be a million author sites
mm-hmm.
on the internet, but that also is not the same.
Right.
It doesn't give you that element of surprise, and it doesn't give you the book news you're after.
Right.
You know?
People Magazine, unless they've changed this very recently, but they would put in most issues of People Magazine three or four books that they would recommend.
Sure. Entertainment Weekly still does
that, they do it too.
And Enough do. The New Yorker still reviews books, and their magazines and And newspapers, the Tribune will run a couple reviews a week right. somewhere, but it's just not the same.
And Oprah's book club was good for business, wasn't it?
Sure it was. It was
good sold for a lot of
certain,
books.
It was good for certain authors.
Yeah.
But it inspired young girls today to start their own book club and yeah. a lot of housewives yeah. that do that too.
But
so.
the other thing that I think was good for the younger generations was Harry Potter.
I never read one
Harry
page
Potter.
Of that or seen a movie.
Millions, yeah. millions of kids at various ages, and they grew up with these Harry Potter books. And the last few were 700 pages thick.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing intimidating about it to them. And so I think now those kids are looking for, because they were weaned on it. This was
You're
their
right.
experience
yeah.
of devouring books, which I think is just great.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And at Printer's Row, too, you get to meet, I mean, believe me, not all authors are nice people or interesting people.
Not all of them.
I didn't know that.
Not many of them, frankly. But you get to meet the authors there, too. It's a sort of intimate setting. And when you have the two big celebrity authors at Printer's Row, like, there's no Ernest Hemingway wandering around there. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I know, which
and
is
And Al Franken.
Yeah.
They are both incredibly smart people, and yeah. I admire them both. But when I think of American literature
That's what Bill
in the
was
year
saying.
2017, the name Kareem Abdul-Jabbar does not immediately rush to mind.
It's good, though, that they're there and shows that there's a variety of people
well,
that read
also,
books.
But also, if you have these celebrity authors, they will draw people to the event, and you can't help yourself. And nobody I know is going simply to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talk to Richard Roper on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They may go to just hear it, but then they will walk around. They'll be compelled to walk around and to look at this intense schedule. And the schedule, too, is something. You know, Stacey Keach was supposed to be there.
But he's gotten sick.
Chris Jones, who sits next to me, the theater critic, just talked to him on the phone. Just talked to Stacey Keach on the phone, and he feels good.
Oh, he does.
He feels good.
Good.
And he described, he didn't know what was going on stage. He had a heart attack.
Oh, no.
On the opening night of Pamplona, which is a play about the aforementioned Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah.
Boy, timing is everything, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
yeah. You can go to printersrowlitfest.org for the whole schedule. When are you going to be there? What days?
Oh, man, what have I got? There was one year when I had seven different things to
do. Seven panel type Look, things
and
or
I said
interviews?
I said to the people in charge of this, I said, can't you find someone else at the Tribune who knows how to read? Why am I doing seven of these? This year I'm doing Neil Steinberg and Mike Lenihan on Saturday talking, and a woman named Carrie Lynn talking about writing nonfiction. Then on Sunday, the later one is Irvin Welsh, the train spotting author.
Oh, nice.
Because he has collaborated on a play called Creatives with a lovely writer named Don DeGrazi who teaches at Columbia. And Irvin's a character and a half, and he's lived here for the last, like, 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Trainspotting 2 is just, he loves Chicago. Right. He fell in love with Chicago. And then I'm doing, earlier that day, Mike Rico's son, David, and a guy named Joby Cerny, who have collaborated on an audio book. It's in print, too, but an audio book of the love letters of Mike Royko.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to him about that when the book was coming out.
When you think Mike Royko, you don't automatically think love letters either.
Immediately.
You know? Yeah. And it's Joby is a fascinating guy. You know who he is,
Yes,
right?
I do.
He's the voice of?
Of Poppin' Fresh.
The Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah.
Really?
The first time I ever had him on the radio, naive as I am, I go, Joby, you've made a career out of your voiceover work, and you're the Pillsbury Doughboy. Can you give us some Pillsbury Doughboy? No.
Not allowed to.
Not allowed to.
Not allowed to.
Contractually forbidden.
He's not even allowed to say that he's the voice of
I know.
You and I can, but he cannot.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't
That's
that
weird.
It is weird.
It's a confidentiality agreement.
Well, Pillsbury is very proprietary, as I learned this week, last Sunday's story about the redone cover girls of Playboy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dealing with, and I understand why they're so proprietary. It took my arm twisting of Cooper Hefner, who you guys interviewed.
Yeah.
And didn't we find him? I was sitting on the side. Didn't you find him the nicest kid?
Loved him.
Totally loved him.
Yeah. And he is really smart, nice, looks a little like Hef.
Yeah, a lot.
Sounds
a lot like Hef.
Yeah.
And although Hef's now 91, I don't know what he sounds like. But he's resurrecting. He's really trying to resurrect that famous
right.
brand.
Yeah.
But you want to try to use that Playboy Bunny logo anywhere?
Not easy.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I was going to get that on a tattoo.
They're very protective.
Well, just don't put it on the internet. Or someone from Playboy will come and cut it out of your skin.
Yeah. Not to scare you.
Yeah, please. I'm sure there are a number of Playboy Bunny logos on a number of bodies wandering around. Yeah. But they may not go to those lengths to stop the use of that logo.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted to have you up to promote your appearances at the Printers Row Lit Fest.
I don't care about my appearances. Go to Printers Row. It's fun. There are a lot of saloons down there, and there are a lot of books down there. It's not about seeing me. Just go to the... whatever website Wendy just told
you
to go to.
It's printersrowlitfest.org.
Okay. And you'll be able to find something you'll like, and you'll undoubtedly find it. One of the many, many tents they have there. You'll find a book to take home
Without a doubt.
Eventually put on your bookshelf.
Yep. So true. Rick, thanks so much.
I love
Always
you guys.
Fun to you talk
guys,
to you.
Thank you so much.
That's Rick Hogan, everybody. We'll take a quick break. We'll get some news in, and then there's more show. It's Bill F. and Wendy.